Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
7:42, Andrea's monitoring the Trump Twitter machine. I'll let you know if there's any breaking tweets. Sheriff Tom Darts here, your Cook County Sheriff, who's been a guest on the show many times. Your time is always appreciated. Nice to see you in studio. How are you?
Wonderful, and I can't thank you enough for setting this up today so that we can finally execute that warrant on Mr. Brady that we've been trying to do for years now.
I think it's fair. You serve him in public.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. I got the kids off to school. New school year underway?
Yes. Just dropped my son off, and he is there, and the girls are probably just entering school right now in a very, very happy mood, I'm sure.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Nothing like your kids are old now?
Third grade, fifth grade, seventh grade, eighth grade, and a junior in high school.
Yeah, okay, get a hobby. Eric Adelstein and Pat Brady are here as well. All right, let's start with a story that broke this week, and I know you took action on this yesterday. The CPS schools issue with teachers or principals coming into Cook County Jail to work with your inmates. What happened?
You know, it's something where we had reached out to the Inspector General, I think about a year ago, and we had gotten some information about it not being done correctly. This had been on my radar screen for a while. I mean, about like 7 or 8 years, Steve, because I kept getting all sorts of really, you know, interesting, to put it lightly, information about what was going on. And some of it was more procedural. I kept thinking to myself that the amount of money that's being spent there, there should be a more thoughtful way, because many of these guys are leaving my custody, going right back to the community, as opposed to a lot of this focus in a more like structured environment. Let's think of something different, like a bridge type of program, and let's get them so that they
That's what halfway houses are for, too.
Yeah, and just sort of work it more in a different model, you know, than just a structured setting. So we were trying to look into it forever, got very little information, and I kept telling people in my office, I said, listen, how in God's name could I ever explain to the public that I have a school on the grounds and I can't even figure out what's going on at the place because it's not run by me. It's run by CPS.
So is it CPS red tape that gets in the way of figuring all that out?
Yeah. And, you know, more along the lines of it's not my business. That's, you know, CPS's role. That's their school. That's not my business to run it, but it's like on my compound. And so about a year ago, we were inquiring about different things that we had heard back about, you know, things that weren't making sense. We talked to their inspector general. He started an investigation, and it divulged stuff. I'd be lying to you if I said I knew this was going on. I didn't know what was going on. What I did know is that some of the stuff just did not make sense. And
well, you had a sense that what was going on was not what you wanted to have happen.
No. And I have no delusion, Steve, that these are all little choir boys and they're great and they have all their pencils sharpened and ready for learning. It's a difficult, difficult job. And the teachers, I've met a few of them over there, great people, really difficult job. But that being said, I think there should be a whole different structure in what we're doing and how we're doing it there. And it's naive to sit there and think that, you know, these teachers can pull off this miracle given what is going on here.
But the transition is important. And it's important that we try to, you know, get the recidivism rate as low as possible and getting an education before they get back on the street or a path. You know, you turn a kid on to learning who's gone through some serious troubles. Maybe they're more interested in learning when they get out. It's logic.
Yeah, you know, logic. And, you know, part of the problem is that the world hasn't adjusted to the reality. Jails were always supposed to be just this place where people sit there for a month, 6 months, wait on their trial, and then off they go. Well, I have people waiting in my jail 8-9 years for their trial. And so as a result of that, combining with the fact that 80% of the people that come into the jail go straight from the jail to the community, jails have to, and we have to adapt and say, okay, listen, while we have these people, we're having them for a longer period of time, and most of them are going right back to communities that have a lot of issues. We got to do something more than just hold them, feed them, get them back and forth to court. We got to start trying to change behavior, give them some educational tools. We do a lot of job training now, more than ever before. But most jails are still doing the basics because they haven't adjusted to the realities.
The CPS principal in particular, I think you banned from the facility, right?
Yeah, so I believe she won't be coming back on the compound anymore. That's one thing we are pretty good at. We can keep people from coming in.
And hopefully keep people from leaving.
We're relatively good on that,
considering
lately.
The business model.
Yeah.
Going forward with this, you're not giving up on educating, especially younger inmates. It's just got to be done in a manner that's appropriate.
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting because I've had, I don't know how many meetings with Paul Vallis to come up with some outside-the-box ideas. I met with Ron Huberman when he was head of there, too. And it seems like everyone I meet with, right after I meet them, their life changes. Huberman, right after I met with him, he got a different job. Right after I meet with Paul Vallis, he goes over to Chicago State University. But it was with this notion, it's like, guys, come on, this model doesn't work. And it's quite an expensive model, too. Let's do it differently.
Do it right. Sheriff Tom Dart has agreed to be a part of the Lincoln Forum, right?
Yeah, a week from Thursday, 21st, 5:30 at the Chicago Athletic Association. He's our inaugural speaker.
And Eric Edelstein, you're involved in this as well. How'd you guys decide on Sheriff Dart first?
Well, Pat told me Dart was coming, and I said, I'm glad we discussed it. No.
I believe everyone else said no.
So the partnership is flawless? Is
that your point? It's like, you know, a marriage. I'm glad we discussed it. No, it was great. We're very excited to have the sheriff. We're excited to do the program, and it's going to be a bit of an experiment, but I think it's the response I've gotten from folks saying, hey, this is really exciting. Chicago, Illinois really needs this. Some bipartisan debate, discussion that isn't a scream fest.
A monologue, or just someone monologuing and putting people to sleep.
Yeah, exactly. Something that's a little more interesting, engages people. And look, I was saying to the sheriff off air, you know, around the country and in Illinois, particularly on the Democratic side, we're seeing more energy, more people involved in politics, more people getting out. Now, you know, that maybe that's a corollary to Trump. I think a lot of it is. But let's turn that energy into something positive, whether you're Democrat or Republican. Get people out. Have them engage in these issues. Have them understand that this country is not a guarantee. We got to all work for it. And, you know, come out and participate and be part of the thing. So I'm excited to be doing it.
And again, where and when, Pat?
Chicago Athletic Association, LincolnForum.org. For tickets, but come on out. We think it's going to be great. And Tom has been a long time friend, and he's one of the guys that works on both sides of the aisles, and he's a true reformer.
Yeah. So I think we're happy to have him. I just would make this point. I mean, the issues that the sheriff is working on, unbelievably salient across the aisle, criminal justice reform.
Yeah, there's no politics involved with trying to get
that. The opioid crisis, the mental health crisis that he deals with every day. I mean, the stuff that he's at the cutting edge of this Democrat or Republican. And if we don't get to the bottom of the issues the sheriff faces every day, we're kind of not going to ever get out from behind the
eight ball. I can't emphasize enough to you the amount of assistance and help I've gotten from people who are truly, I mean, lifelong Republicans is amazing. When we decided to put a program together to teach guys how to cook, so they had a skill when they left, because the restaurant industry said that they needed people. So I said, okay, let's match this up.
Sure.
I had Ron Gidwitz walk in with a check for $16,000, gave it to us to buy a pizza oven so these guys could make pizzas. Yeah, it's fantastic. And he has more of his – he always tells me, he goes, Tom, I love working with you. You guys get stuff done. I have friends lined up because we're going to buy – one of his friends is buying me one of those food trucks, and we're going to start selling it out in front of the jail because otherwise the food selection isn't the best there. And we're going to clean up because the food that we make in the kitchen there, Bruno Boddy is a big chef. He teaches these guys this stuff. It's ridiculously good.
Right.
Hey, Kevin Paul was out there last week. He told me that Bruno runs a pretty tight ship out there.
Oh, my God. He scares me. even though he is wearing bright yellow scarves at the time, he still intimidates you.
60 Minutes piece, you and I were talking about this.
Yeah.
One of the things that came up, which is just amazing, and I really want the public to understand this. There's a constitutional right to a speedy trial. And you made the point in 60 Minutes that you have people who time out on the sentence they would have received if they ever got to trial, and sometimes are even longer before you're able to find them and release them, which is why weekly you go down, you talk to these guys, who's your lawyer, what are you working on, try to take some handwritten notes from these fellas and try to figure something out. What is the core problem there?
The core problem really is as straightforward is that this is a system, the criminal justice system, and it's thoughtless. It's bureaucrats at its best, where no one really has a defined purpose to sit there and say, we need to make this efficient. Everyone has their different roles, and so as a result of that, everyone thinks they're doing a fine job, and I can attest to you that they're not. There's great judges. There's great lawyers. There's horrible judges. There's horrible lawyers.
Right.
As Pat and I can tell you, we had the benefit in being in front of both spectrums, where we had judges who just were the most passionate, hardworking people in the world. And then we had judges who would be done every day by 1 o'clock, gave everyone continuances, no skin off their nose. And then what ends up happening is these guys sit there, and do you have people who plead guilty who didn't do it? You do, because, you know, it's common sense. If a lawyer walks in and says, listen, you can walk out today or we'll set it for trial in 3 months.
But who has jurisdiction over the judges? Because there ought to be a shot clock of some sort on processing these cases.
The chief
judge. That's so funny. I, for 9 years now, I have tried to do something that is outrageously revolutionary. It's called case management. Really shocking. And we as a county have spent $350,000 to have experts come in to tell us, use case management. To this day, we still don't use it, which is so simple. It says, listen, no case is going to always fit into the mold, but the majority of them, like a stolen car case, should take no longer than 9 months. A dope case, no longer than 6 months. And you put the time frames, and if a judge exceeds them, another judge intervenes and says, listen, you got to move it along, and if you don't do it within 30 days, we're going to give it to a different judge, and you use sort of peer pressure to move it along. They use it elsewhere. We should use it here. They've talked about it forever. They don't do it.
Does the Illinois bar oversee the judges?
No. It's just through the judiciary itself. It starts with the Supreme Court.
But who does a judge have to answer to? If you got a bad judge, who do they answer to?
Really no one. I mean, they don't.
Well, then
how could this
get screwed up?
Yeah, I know. I mean, they have a presiding judge who theoretically they report to, but that presiding judge can't unelect him. You're elected. And that's the thing I always found so disturbing is that when I get pushback from the judges, which, mind you, I'm not on their big top 10 list of people they love. Uh-huh. The pushback I don't understand is that they, for all intents and purposes, they have a lifetime appointment. They come up every 10 years for retention. And I think in the last 30 years, out of like thousands and thousands of them that have been up for retention, I think there's been one or two that have not been retained. So with a lifetime appointment.
Right, because if you have an Irish name and I walk in, I don't know you, I haven't done the research, and how do I know if you're good or bad? Well, you got an Irish name, you're probably okay.
Yeah, so you would think these would be some of the most innovative, hardworking people, and you have some of them are just like that. They're everything you want in a judge. But then you have these other ones, and I always said it's so unfair to the good judges that they're all treated the same because they know they've got some people there that just don't care.
I got to take a break. Hang around a second. I also want to ask about Chris Kennedy's announcement yesterday about a running mate before we run out of time here. Eric, I'm going to throw the Chris Kennedy question generally in your area. We'll come back in a moment. More with Pat Brady as well. And Sheriff Tom Dart at 720 WGN. Mayor Tom Dart, Eric Adelstein, Pat Brady, Andrea.
Sheriff, any mayoral aspirations? Any plans for any higher office future?
Would you like to announce right now?
Or office other than sheriff.
Yeah. No, you know what? I am happily running for re-election for sheriff right now. And I honestly, I don't know what I'm going to do down the road. I really like being sheriff, and we got a lot of really good things in play that I want to finish. So I'll see. It's just, it's tough enough with this job to balance that with the children and being a good dad. And I just don't know if some of these other jobs allow me to be a good dad.
Not a definite no.
Not definite no, but I, you know, am far from, honestly, God, see, the thing I have a hard time with trying to explain to people, unlike other people, my life would be very happy if I got out of politics tomorrow. I won't feel any regrets, and I won't feel like, you know, I missed this opportunity. I'm just not, like, as ambitious as some other people are that my life has to have this job or that title. And otherwise,
that's a good mayoral campaign slogan. I'm not that ambitious.
I'll do it if you make me.
If you want.
Yeah. Eric Adelstein, Chris Kennedy announced his running mate yesterday. He is.
Today he's announcing it. It was
we found out yesterday.
Rod Joy, who is executive director of Change Illinois. He's someone who grew up in Evanston, played football at SIU in Carbondale, lives in Bronzeville. Been part of really political activism that is to change the status quo. A lot of the stuff that Sheriff Dart works on, get rid of the unfair maps, work on which they just passed, the automatic voter registration, and really has been someone who's been outspoken across the state for the kind of structural change that Chris has talked about. Unfortunately, and Chris has known him for about 10 years, unfortunately, they are also members of a club no one ever wants to be a member of. Ra lost his son to gun violence over the summer, a kid that was in college, had gone to Whitney Young, and was just in the wrong place at the wrong time, and I think they had bonded a little bit out of the shared loss of that, which sadly thousands and thousands of families in this state have experienced. So
Ra's a great, great guy. I know people aren't going to vote for lieutenant governor when they necessarily go to the ballot box. I do. Yeah, he's been on the program before.
Yeah.
He's great.
But
I like him as well.
Will he resonate, you think, with downstate voters?
I do. I mean, look, he went to SIU. He played football in Carbondale. I mean, he's a guy who's lived suburban. He's lived on the south side. He's lived in southern Illinois. I think he's got a compelling story. And look, a lot of these issues, you know, we sort of divide the state and say, well, this plays up here, this plays down there. The issues of poverty, the issues of crime, the education reform, the need for jobs, the need for, structural political change. It's true across the state, not just in one region.
So, moderates and independents, Pat, you feel the same way?
I think that Kennedy's still the draw down state. He's wildly popular south of I-80.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, in a lot of ways, I think people don't vote for the lieutenant governor. Right, you obviously want somebody who can do the job. With, you know, we've seen in Illinois that sometimes the governor ends up not as the governor.
What?
Yeah, I know. Shocking. by the way, how good did he look on the front page of the paper?
He looks fine. Let me tell you something. Prison life agrees with Rod Blagojevich.
You know, I knew it would, too.
He's using my gray hair dye.
It's unbelievable.
He's a pig in a poke. I mean, he looks like...
He looks fantastic. He looks like all bets are off. The pressure's off. But there are nights where he sits in his cell and went, really? Trump? you know he's thinking that. Pat Brady, where do you work?
Next Generation Strategies. Thank you.
And Eric Edelstein from?
I work at AL Media.
Sheriff Tom Dardis, your Cook County Sheriff, and he will be the guest where and when?
Lincoln Forum, lincolnforum.org, next Thursday, the 21st, 5:30, Chicago Athletic Association. Come.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, we'll be fun.
Yeah, I'm going to be there. Can I get a ticket?
You got to pay.
No, you can come with me if you want, Steve.
Okay, because I didn't think you'd have a date.
Brady gets a plus one.
He does?
That's a first.
And I hope he likes what I'm wearing. And Sheriff Dart, thank you for being here, and thank you for the work you continue to try to do and the work you do every day.
Thank you so much, Steve, for being
here. Appreciate it. All right, back with the news next on 720 WGN.